We read from Holy Scripture this morning in connection with Lord's Day 10, the first chapter of the Apostle's letter to the Ephesians, Ephesians chapter 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus, grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the Beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance, until the redemption of the purchased possession, unto the praise of his glory. Wherefore, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. This is the Word of God. We call your attention this morning, especially to verses 11 and 12. In whom also we have obtained, that is in Christ, an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him, notice, who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. And this is the purpose why God works everything after the counsel of his will, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ. It's on the basis of that passage and many others in Scripture that we have the instruction of Lord's Day 10, which speaks of the providence of God. Lord's Day 10, questions 27 and 28. What dost thou mean by the providence of God? The almighty and everywhere present power of God, whereby, as it were by his hand, he upholds and governs heaven, earth, and all creatures, so that herbs and grass, rain and drought, fruitful and barren years, meat and drink, health and sickness, riches and poverty, yea, and all things come not by chance, but by his fatherly hand. What advantage is it to us to know that God has created and by his providence doth still uphold all things? That we may be patient in adversity, thankful in prosperity, and that in all things which may hereafter befall us, we place our firm trust in our faithful God and Father, that nothing shall separate us from his love, since all creatures are so in his hand that without his will they cannot so much as move. People of God, what a rich and wonderful comfort we who belong body and soul in life and in death to our faithful Savior have. We're blessed, according to Ephesians 1, with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, chosen in him, which is to say, predestinated in him by God before the foundation of the world, so that in him we have obtained an inheritance, life with God, covenant fellowship with our heavenly Father on the basis of the forgiveness of our sins through the blood of Jesus. And we've obtained that already. Christ died according to the purpose of God, and he was raised from death. He is exalted far above all principalities and power and might and dominion. He sits at the right hand of God. Already, in principle, we reign with him, under whose feet God has put absolutely everything. And we shall surely come into the final and perfect glory of that inheritance at the end of the ages. Why? Because God works everything after the counsel of His own will. And God's own will is to bless us perfectly and fully in the new heaven and earth, where all shall be gathered together in one in Christ Jesus. And He works everything after that will. In other words, everything that befalls us, every single thing that happens all through the ages in all the earth, must serve for that final salvation and glory. Everything. You hear that? You understand that? Everything. Of course, everything. He's the Father of Christ. And for Jesus' sake, He's our Father and the Father of His whole creation. He created everything by the word of His power as a revelation of the glory to come, as we saw last week, a picture of the glory of His church in Christ to be attained according to His purpose in the way of sin and grace, the cross, Christ experiencing the agonies of hell on that cross, and the resurrection and exaltation of Christ and we in Him. That means, people of God, that our almighty and gracious Father also, by the same power, upholds and governs all creatures in heaven and on earth to reach that wonderful purpose. All things then, as the Catechism so beautifully puts it, herbs and grass, fruitful and barren years, health and sickness, riches and poverty, come not by chance, but by His fatherly hand. Before I make the next statement, I must tell you that I need this Word of God as much or more than anyone of you here present this morning. Now the statement, how foolish. Yes, how foolish and sinful of us to be anxious, full of worry, as we so often can be. We may trust in God our Father in everything. What can possibly separate us from His love? Everything comes by His fatherly hand. Everything must serve His purpose, the counsel of His will, to bless us. This is our comfort, people of God, and this too is what it means to confess over against the whole world of sin and unbelief, I believe in God the Father, Almighty Maker of heaven and earth. Let's consider that wonderful truth for a little while this morning, our Father's providential care. Let's notice what it means and its scope, and then the comfort that God's providential care affords us. What do we mean by the providence of God? The Catechism, and correctly so, defines the providence of God in this way: the everywhere present power, almighty power, of God by which he upholds and governs heaven and earth and all things. Now there are two elements that lie at the basis of this wonderful truth of God's providential power. First is the almighty power of God. We call that his omnipotence. God is all the power. And that almighty power is everywhere present. That is what we call in Reformed doctrine his omnipresence. Now, what we're confessing is two fundamental aspects of the absolute sovereignty of God. Everything comes out of and is rooted in that precious truth. If there's anything you must never forget and must remember, your comfort depends on it, it's that truth. The sovereignty of God, which is his transcendence, first of all. By that, our Reformed fathers meant that God is infinitely above all things. And that's not to be understood in the sense of that ancient heresy known as deism. The deist says God is removed from the creation. He made all things, and he made all things with internal laws, laws of nature, if you will, by which the creation now runs by itself. God is removed from the creation. The biblical notion of the transcendence of God is not that. God is transcendent, and that means he is essentially different from and infinitely greater than the things that he has made. God cannot be identified with the creation. We cannot speak of God in terms of time and space. He remains above. He is not bound by time nor space. One day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. He is the transcendent God, not limited by space either. We creatures and all the things that God has made occupy space, not God. Solomon confessed, for example, in 1 Kings 2, verse 27, "Behold, the heaven of heavens cannot contain thee, how much less this house which I have built," referring to the temple. God is transcendent. No form, no limit, not limited by time or space. He's the infinite I am that I am. At the same time, God is eminent. And this must not be understood in terms of that other ancient heresy called pantheism. God is identified, according to that heresy, with creation. No, God is not his creation. Everything is not God, nor does this merely mean that God's power is everywhere. God is his power. As the transcendent God, he is eminent in all of his creation, so that the apostle can say, "In him we live and move and have our being." And with the poet of Psalm 139, "Whither shall I go from thy presence?" Or from thy spirit, "Whither shall I flee from thy presence?" If by ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. God is everywhere. There is nowhere we can go to escape his presence. That ought to make us pause and think. And now there's a word here for our boys and girls, also our little big boys and girls. Listen, you can hide sometimes from mom and dad or your school teacher. You can hide your thoughts sometimes from mom and dad or your school teacher or your pastor or your elders, but you cannot hide from God. Never. He's there. He knows everything. Every secret thought, every act, he knows. Where'er we go, he's there. That, people of God, is the providence of God. The Almighty God is everywhere present, upholding all things, lives in all the creation, not in the sense of his covenant of grace and fellowship. God lives with his children in Jesus Christ as their father and friend, in his love and in his gracious favor. But as the Almighty God, he is in the whole creation and in all of its parts. God is in the light and in the darkness. When you are afraid, boys and girls, in the middle of the dark, dark night, and you hear funny little sounds, creakings and whatnot have you, God is there. Don't be afraid. He's with you. He's in the fragile flower as well as the mighty oak tree. He's in man and beast and in every relationship and form. All creatures everywhere are in constant touch with the living God. And he's there as the Almighty God, constantly active in all of his creation, the whole of it, upholding it, as it were, by his hand, and preserving all things, causing them to continue to exist. Not one split second does anything in the whole vast creation of God, unbelievably vast universe, most of which has never been explored, exist without God. Nothing exists independently of the Almighty God, whose is all the power. Constantly, all things receive their existence from God. Yes. We saw that last week, didn't we? In the beginning, God spoke his creative word. And we considered the fact that Scripture teaches us that God spake and it was done. He commanded and it stood fast. And as we often sing, all with sovereign power begun, stood fast at his command. What a precious truth. But this too, people of God, God continues to speak his word, not creating anything new, but causing creation to continue to exist. God said, let there be light, and there was light. But should God cease speaking light, there would be no light. And so the scriptures declare, he works all things after the counsel of his own will. Or as Hebrews 1:3 has it, God is upholding all things by the word of his power. Romans 11, all things are not only out of him, but also through him and unto him. And God not only upholds, but he governs. all things. That too. By His almighty power, God rules all things. We just had an election, didn't we? And many of us rejoiced to see the conservative side of the political map in our country come out on top for the most part. But people of God, in the end, in a way, it doesn't matter, because the seat of power is not the White House, it's not Congress, it's not Washington or Moscow or whatever. It's God on His throne in glory through the cross. And according to God's eternal counsel, He established His everlasting kingdom to be realized in the new creation. And within that kingdom, God rules all by His rule of love and saving grace in Christ Jesus. And now too, providentially, God is ruling all things by His almighty power. You and me and the church, as found in every nation, He rules by His grace and Spirit so that we love Him and serve Him. By His almighty power, He rules everything collectively and individually so that everything by His direction is moving toward the consummation of His purpose. After the counsel of His will, the Word of God tells us in Ephesians 1, and His will is to glorify Himself by the saving of His chosen in the Lord Jesus. For that reason, God created everything. For that purpose, man fell into the arms of Christ, as it were, and is redeemed. And everything then, by the almighty power of God and His rule, willingly or in spite of themselves, serve that purpose of God. He is Lord. And as Lord, He works out His counsel for His own glory. That's the idea of God's providence. That's what it means in brief. Now, what is its scope? One word, universal. Universal. Nothing. Absolutely nothing occurs outside of the providence of God. As we noted already early on in this sermon, that's true of the so-called laws of nature. Those aren't laws that are inherent in the universe by virtue of which the universe runs itself. They're the revelation of the orderly way in which God upholds and governs everything. The law of gravity, the speed at which light or sound travel, the earth spinning on its axis and revolving about the sun, all these and everything are being upheld and guided by the hand of our Father. For that reason, the universe is not chaos. That's exactly why we can go on living from day to day. Suppose this weren't true for a moment. Suppose God didn't uphold and govern everything according to His sovereign purpose. Suppose from one day to the next you didn't know what season it would be. Suppose it were 0 degrees one day and 95 the next. Suppose that the sun arose at 6 and the next day at noon. You couldn't live that way. Obviously, God is a God of harmony and order. He works all things. He controls the seasons so that there's a time to sow and a time to reap. He causes the winds to blow. He sends the beautiful sunshine and the cheering rain. But also, according to his own good purpose and for our sakes, raging storms and tornadoes that in a matter of moments can destroy entire communities. The same is true of the living creatures. The creatures, we sing, all look to thee for their food. The Almighty God sends the hawk on his soaring flight. Two sparrows are sold for a farthing, Jesus said in Matthew 10. But not one falls to the ground, not even one of those little sparrows falls to the ground, apart from the will of our Father in heaven. God guides the roaring lion of the jungle, but also each tiny insect in all of its movements. We can't state it more beautifully than the Catechism. He upholds and governs heaven and earth and all creatures so that herbs and grass, rain and drought, fruitful and barren years, meat and drink, health and sickness, riches and poverty, yea, and all things come not by chance, but by his fatherly hand. You wonder about that sometimes, don't you? Yesterday, last evening, watching the news, there was, as you might expect, of course, a coverage of the cholera and the victims of that horrible disease in Haiti. You see those little ones, some of them in mother's arms, heads hanging, some with oxygen and IVs, trying to restore proper levels of fluids in the body. If you're like me, you wonder, don't you? Why? Why this? What is God doing? What is God saying? Well, people of God, I don't have answers except this much we know, do we not? God is upholding and governing also that cholera in Haiti, for the sake of his people and church, there and where'er his church is found in the nations of the world. Yes, health and sickness. How many times in 40 plus years of history, and Reverend Van Baron will testify to that too, I'm sure, do not God's pastors hear at the bedsides of the sick and dying? Why? Why, Lord? Why? Sometimes you stand there not knowing what to say. Except this, God knows. God does this. And for his own purpose, he does this. For your good and the good of his church. That's why. Nothing comes by chance. Everything comes by his fatherly hand. That's the way it is with God's creatures of mind and will. God upholds and governs the thoughts, the aspirations, and deeds of men. All men, righteous to be sure, but also the wicked. Immediately some will object. Perhaps here this morning and say, well then, God is the author of sin. To that we say with Scripture, God forbid, the very thought of that is blasphemy. Man is responsible for his own sin, and everyone born into this world will stand before the judgment seat of Christ to give an account of the deeds done in the body, whether good or evil. Man sins, willfully rejects the living God and His Christ and His Word. But also this is not outside of the providence and working of Almighty God. I can't explain that. I've said that to you more than once in the last year and a half. All we can say to that is what Scripture itself says, believe it or perish. That's what it comes to. The Bible teaches it plainly enough. Look at Genesis 50 and the confession of Joseph to his brothers when he talks about their sinful act in selling him into Egypt. Ye thought evil against me, but God meant it for good to save much people alive. And God hardens Pharaoh's heart, both according to the history in Exodus. Read Professor Homer Hoeksema's book on that history. Read that with your Bibles open. And also Romans 9, to show His mighty power, God does that, and declare His glorious name in all the earth. He hardens Pharaoh's heart. And thou, O man, if you object to that and say, ask, why does he yet find fault? Pharaoh didn't resist his will and all of that. God says, you keep your big mouth shut. You don't object against God, sinful man. You don't speak out against the living God. Judas, Pontius Pilate, the chief priests, they all took Jesus by wicked hands and crucified him. But they only did what God determined before should be done. So is the testimony of the Word of God in Acts 4, 24 through 28. The Almighty, everywhere present God is upholding and governing all things to reach His own purpose. Now we're back to where we began. How foolish, even downright sinful, it is for us, for me, to worry then. Yes, oh yes, life has a lot of adversity, to be sure. Every one of us has his or her share of what we sometimes call the bad or unfortunate things in life. Some are afflicted right now. Some perhaps are confined to their homes and cannot worship with us this morning or tonight. All experience to one degree or another the infirmities of the flesh, sickness, suffering. Some of God's children are poor, and we all face, as long as Jesus does not return, we all face death, the last enemy. And some this very day within our own midst are lonely because God has taken away a dear one. The world in general doesn't give us much to be glad about. There's the horrible increase in sin, and things are becoming such that it is increasingly difficult for the child of God to be faithful. Some of us have lost jobs or had hours cut because of the recession. Some are threatened by that, perhaps even today. There are frightening problems confronting the world in general. Overpopulation, the pollution of the creation, the environment, Our newspapers and other media bring us news every day of war and rumor of war, terrorism and its terrible threat. We came within minutes of another attack on the United States just recently. Everywhere you look, there's tension, there's unrest, there's instability, earthquake, famine, flood, terrible disease. And what is so terribly tragic is the apostasy and falling away of so much of the church in our day. It's the spiritual ignorance of the fundamental truths of God's Word and the Christian life that is rooted in and the fruit of that sound doctrine. People of God, don't worry. Don't worry. God the Father who made us and all things in the beginning loves us so much that he sent his Son to suffer and die for our sins. And he raised him from the dead. And he's busy right now upholding and ruling all things for your sakes. All things in your individual life and experience. All things in the whole world. So that everything works for our advantage and salvation. We may be patient in adversity then, thankful in prosperity. And whatever befalls us in days to come, we may place our firm trust in our faithful God and Father. And we can sing from the heart, have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. Thou art the potter. I am the clay. Look up, child of God. Trust in your Father. Everything great and small, under his direction, by his sovereign power, is working for our salvation. Nothing can be against us. Nothing can separate us from his love. And we can sing, as we do, my life and all its perfect plan was ordered ere my days began. All is well. Commit thy way unto the Lord. He shall bring it to pass. Oh, yes, he shall bring it to pass. That's what we who belong in life and in death to Jesus say, when we say, I believe in God the Father, Almighty Maker of heaven and earth. Amen.